escaping a land of smoke and mirrors, obfuscation, and confusion, and into a space of liberty-inducing veracity and reason. In this new land, divergence from the secularist status quo is the zenith of human existence. Welcome to Absolute Truth, Absolutely. Transmission begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Absolute Truth, Absolutely podcast, powered by LWYM, Living Word Youth Ministries in Miami, Florida. We're so glad to have you join us. And as I was saying earlier in the week, on Thursday and Fridays is the day that Sarai joins me, my wife, so that if we can comment on the day's most pressing issues and, of course, look at them through the biblical lens to see how we should contemplate these things. What should we think about all of these things that are going on around us so that we may have a godly worldview? There are persons that don't necessarily agree with the terminology biblical worldview, but what other outlook are we supposed to have other than the one that we see in the scriptures, especially if we look at the person and imitate the person and his ministry and his way of being of Jesus Christ?
That's right.
So with us, with me as always is Sarai.
God bless everyone. Yes,
a little hang up here. So we've been in absentia, if you will, for the last 3 days. But as I mentioned, every Monday through Wednesday, you will hear portions of what we teach every Wednesday night during our Wednesday night youth meetings, 8 p.m., by the way. And we gather at 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. That's a shameless plug, but we record these messages and make them available to you through our website. So we invite all of our listeners to log on to visit our website, lwym.org, and you can download these files for free after they have been transmitted through Living Word Radio, which you can access, by the way, by visiting our mother church's website, palabraviva.org. And Monday through Friday, we transmit at 8 p.m. And once again, once you're done listening to that, if you quite enjoyed what we have to say, then visit our website, lwym.org, and download it. They will be made readily available after the program transmits. Well, we stated it before that public universities and even many private institutions have become places of mass indoctrination. And we need to clarify, indoctrination in and of itself is not wrong per se. There has to be some clarification, because indoctrination carries with it two singular or mutually exclusive connotations. The first being teaching a pupil. And we find that this is in accord with what we find in the scriptures. Jesus says that the pupil will eventually come to full understanding once the teacher has taught the pupil everything he or she knows. Mm-hmm. But then what we mean by indoctrination is fomenting or creating a system in the person that you are providing information to, where they cannot step outside of those ideological bounds. And if they do, they're considered dissenters, and everything needs to be done, every particular, how would I describe this? There are certain measures that need to be taken in order to repress that.
Correct.
So what we mean by indoctrination is not teaching students how to think, how to critically think about things, even though the classes are called critical thinking. But in truth, it's think the way that we tell you to
exactly.
think. Exactly. That's not the way things are. But in high schools and universities, this is exactly what is happening. We have a propagation of university professors and persons that participate of the academia telling, informing pupils that this is how they have to see the world. Otherwise, they will suffer the consequences academically. Maybe they can be expulsed from school. And this is exactly proof of all of that and more. Maybe you'd like to read the latest report that you fetched from the collegefix.com and how this particular university, which is renowned, by the way, is spending $16,000 on a campaign to warn students to watch what they say. Read a little bit for us, please.
Inclusive language campaign debuts at University of Michigan. Dozens of posters plastered across the University of Michigan caution students not to say things that might hurt others' feelings. Part of a new inclusive language campaign at the state's flagship public university that cost $16,000 to implement. Words declared unacceptable through the campaign include, quote, crazy, quote, insane, retarded, gay, tranny, gypped, illegal alien, fag, ghetto, and raghead, end quote. Phrases such as, quote, I want to die, end quote, and quote, that test raped me, end quote, are also verboten. Is that how you say it?
Yes, are also verboten.
Verboten. I want to pause here because, first of all, here you have a well-recognized university, University of Michigan, implementing a campaign of $16,000 to now let the students know, hey, look, we're doing a campaign to let you know words that you can't say, phrases that you can't say. Well, my question is, this university is here in the United States of America. What happened to the students' freedom of speech? I understand that that the university is trying to move to a certain way and indoctrinate them and say, oh, you can't say this and you can't say that and this phrase is out of context or you know, you can't say a certain phrase. But what happened to their freedom of speech? Whatever happened to them just speaking their mind?
I think there's a problem, and I've stated this on multiple occasions. We've moved into a day and age which is very dangerous for freedom of speech because it's all being repressed in the name of hurting other people's feelings. And it seems to me that if we are to analyze that particular argument, we should arrive at a conclusion that if my speech offends other persons, I should refrain from it. But the question I have is, what if what I am uttering is truth? You see, truth in and of itself does not polarize, does not ostracize. People themselves distance themselves from veracity when they do not want to accept the correction, rebuke,
right,
of wisdom and of truth. The truth in and of itself showcases to you your shortcomings. And you have two options. The first, accept it, even though it might sting initially because no one likes to be informed that they are incorrect in their processes. Or second option, which many people choose, I think the great majority of persons choose the second option, vilify anyone or any entity that promotes it.
Right.
Because these individuals do not want to accept correction. Their pride gets in the way from any liberty-inducing veracity, as I like to say. So we've moved into a very dangerous place where now persons can claim, they can say, you're hurting my feelings. And since you have done so, your speech needs to be repressed. You need to be considerate of my emotions. But this is also a grave problem because emotions are volatile. And how do I actually know that you're experiencing those emotions? And why is it that you are becoming repressive to me? Because now your feelings are infringing on my right to speak.
Of course.
And the other thing is, many times when we say what we say and when people vociferate certain things, they don't say it to offend. They say it to speak reality. True, there are individuals that do undertake speech and they employ terminologies which are coarse. But even then, the point is, don't pay attention to those persons.
Of course.
You have to do is move on. But even now, we see the Super Bowl commercial, Coca-Cola, there was this young boy who was logged on to the internet, and he kept seeing words, hate, and so on and so forth, and he started crying. So why are you logging onto the internet and paying attention to those people in the first place? Why are you giving such credence, importance to persons' opinions? There's so much contradiction here. And there's also what I would call a suppression of the truth and unrighteousness via a specious argument, which seems to cloak itself in morality, which it isn't.
Right.
It's not. And I think you've made an absolutely great point. And notice what it says here, inclusive language campaign. Isn't this hypocritical? Isn't this paradoxical? Because it says inclusive language, but they're excluding certain types of words.
And it's funny because they're targeting, you can tell by the words that they're using, they're targeting certain people. Now, my question is, are they going to include bigotry? Because this, or intolerant? Because these are two words, phrases that are implemented and usually labeled when Christians come out against the homosexual community. So I'm wondering if they're going to include that within these words and obviously target, you know, the Christian community, or are they going to use that to say, hold on a second, because I really doubt that they're going to go in defensive and defend the Christian community. I think, you know.
Well, it seems to me that they're initially trying to protect more than any other Muslims, because notice the last term, raghead, that's a word that has been invented by many Americans to describe Muslims, because they see the affiliation that certain persons undertake with the religion that, well, let's see, they absolutely hate the West. They drove two planes into the World Trade Center, killing more than 3,000 persons, and then under Operation Iraqi Freedom and in Afghanistan, they've killed thousands of our soldiers, of our young men and women.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a point there for some hostility against the religion of peace, or as I like to call it or denote it, the religion of bloodshed. Notice here, let's go back to some of the terms. Crazy. No, we can't use the word crazy anymore. Insane. That has been stricken from our English lexicon. Retarded. I remember the days when I was in high school where everybody said, commonly, why are you so retarded? It was meant as an insult. Right. Why are you so retarded? And mostly people didn't think anything of it. They laughed. They shrugged it off. They understood that when the other person was saying it to you, they were in essence calling you a fool.
Mm.
That was the general idea. They were equating you with a person whose mental capacity is not 100%. But then we have certain folk that they said, I have a retarded child and we need to eliminate this because it hurts my feelings. And there began the repression of the language. Gay. Folks, we were not the ones who advocated for the use of the word gay in the first place. It was the militant homosexuals that said that they did not want the term homosexual used anymore. Instead, they said, start calling us gay. And now, after they implemented it, they said, don't use it anymore.
So what happens if they use gay in a paper to mean that they're happy?
Well, you're offending homosexual sensibilities.
Okay.
You're offending their emotions.
Just checking.
Tranny, to speak about transvestites,
exactly.
Of course. Gypped. I've been gypped.
And that's the black community.
We're offending here blacks and especially those that have undertaken a criminal enterprise. Illegal alien. So people that have broken our immigration laws, we can't call them what they are, illegals. We can't call them that anymore.
Nope.
Okay. Fag. We can't use the term fag anymore, even though I'm using it now. Okay. Ghetto. We can't use the word ghetto. And finally, raghead. And as you said, phrases such as, I want to die, even though most persons, when they declaim this, they're doing it out of frustration.
Exactly.
It's not that they actually want to commit suicide or kill themselves. And then that test raped me.
That means the final was that difficult.
Okay. University spokesman Rick Fitzgerald told the college Fix in an email the campaign aims to, quote, address campus climate by helping individuals understand that their words can impact someone and to encourage individuals to commit to creating a positive campus community. You know what I find curious? That most of these persons that recommend, and if they don't recommend, I'm pretty sure they're going to impose this somehow, use the same language. They just don't do it publicly.
Exactly.
How many times have we found recordings of politicians in private conversations use the exact same terminology that they recommend or try to enforce on everybody else not to use? Very curious. The hypocrisy here is astounding. Students have been asked to sign a pledge to use inclusive language and to help their peers understand the importance of using inclusive language according to campaign materials. I ask, if you sign this pledge, can that be used against you if you do employ any of the aforementioned terminologies?
Of course. And then what happens if you decide not to sign it? Are you now kicked out?
Though only in existence for one semester, the inclusive language campaign has maintained a strong presence throughout the university. Students roaming the campus frequently encounter posters of all sizes reminding them, your words matter, and asking questions such as, if you knew that I grew up in poverty, would you still call things ghetto and ratchet? I have a question for all of these organizers of these campaigns. What about anti-Christian speech? Let me clarify, I'm not calling for anyone to repress people who have anti-Christian sentiments. I really couldn't care less. I do certainly believe in Thomas Jefferson's maxim in that both falsehood and truth should both have equal light of day to argue their cases, because truth will win out all of the time. Mm-hmm. And I do hold on to that. So even persons that have vitriol against Christians, they should be able to vociferate their opinion. I have no problem with that, because if they can, then I should be able to rebuttal them.
Of course.
I absolutely believe that. But notice that within this, there are no terminologies, anti-Christian terminologies, that are part of this list. It's always special interest groups. We're talking about minorities specifically. Did you notice that?
Well, yeah, Gio, because these are the people that are bringing in the money to the college and university, and we don't want to offend them.
Well, I don't think that they're necessarily bringing in the money to the college. They know that mostly white leftists, rich white leftists, are the ones that are bringing money into the college, but that's a whole nother matter for another day. Representatives of the Inclusive Language Campaign did not respond to repeated requests for comment from the College Fix. Junior Kidada Malloy, who helps promote the program on campus, told the Michigan Daily that the campaign is a great program because it will improve the day-to-day language of students on campus by providing education around words that are offensive. Again, I really don't care if they're offensive or not. To me, if you are offended by any of these terms, I would dare say that you need to have your head checked. You are crazy and insane.
Of course. Gio, you know how many times when I started wearing glasses in third grade, I was called four-eyed. Then in middle school, I went to a particular rich, an all-rich school. And then you were called a spick because I was Hispanic. Because even though I was born here in the United States, my parents are Puerto Rican, and therefore I was labeled spick. Then around my junior and senior year, now not only was I a spick, but since I have a whiter tone than your average Hispanic person, now I was considered a Hispanic cracker. So I didn't let it bother me. That's the point that I'm trying to, you know, come out and come across.
That's
I didn't let it bother me.
People are overly sensitive in our generation. They're extremely sensitive. And let me also say this. This is indoctrination via speech control.
Of course.
That's all it is. Many of these bleeding, what are known in many circles as bleeding heart leftists, I don't like to call them liberals. I've always maintained that I love to preserve the English language because of its beauty. And if we continue to allow persons to redefine terms, we have nothing to communicate with. And we know that in the epoch that we're living in, many secularists and humanists have propagated the idea that man is the arbiter of good and evil, and therefore also morality. And that is an erroneous notion to hold on to, because man cannot create morality. Only the creator, the one who establishes the laws of the universe, which is God himself, can do that.
Yeah, and what's sad about this is that a lot of these students are paying for their education. They're going there to receive a degree on something that they can hopefully, God willing, find a job after they graduate. And the last thing they need is more stress on, now you got to worry about what you're going to say, how you're going to say it, what phrase you're going to use, because you might get penalized. God forbid you get kicked out of class and now you don't have that credit. And now, you know, your GPA falls and now you might not have that the scholarship that you had. And it's a lot of stress. I mean, students go through stress regardless. So to add upon this, oh, now I got to worry about what I say, how this person's going to get offensive. Again, you have to learn how to become a duck.
I have a question. Fitzgerald told the College Fix the university budgeted $16,000 for the campaign. The program comes at a time when the university has raised tuition and fees for the last two consecutive years. My question is, are they going to begin to charge this to students who do not want to participate in the form of unknown fees, which in truth are going to be funneled to this $16,000?
Exactly.
So students will become participants of the programs unknowingly and unwillingly without their consent.
So on top of the tuition going up in the last 2 years, so now they're not only feeling the effects of the tuition going up, but now you have this secret penalty that if you're caught saying these words or phrases, now you might see that penalty somewhere along the way. And you might not find out about it until maybe after you leave school and you see it in your loan or whatnot.
Let's look at some of the, there's a poster that I think they took a picture of. And these are the terminologies that they would want students to expurgate from their lexicon. Quote, I want to die, end quote. And this says, these words carelessly diminish the experience of people who have attempted or committed suicide. It can make survivors feel silenced by implying that self-harm is laughable or not a real problem with which many people struggle. Be aware that this phrase is offensive toward people who have attempted suicide or self-harm. Here's the problem with this entire phrase or reasoning, erred as it may be, behind the recommendation that persons will or should not use, I want to die. Notice how it says these words carelessly diminish the experience of people who have attempted or committed suicide. They didn't have to commit suicide in the first place. They didn't have to attempt to commit suicide. And then some might rebuff Gio, but there are certain persons' lives that it is so dire, the circumstances that they are surrounded by, that they have no other option. No. What about all the other people that were probably in more dire circumstances and they made it out alive and have made something of themselves?
Yeah, and they're not thinking of their families and their loved ones when they say, I want to die.
This is a sentimentalist argument because death should not be an option, an act of cowardice.
Yeah, no, and not only that, students who say, I want to die, Gio, they don't want to die. It's because they've had maybe a hard semester. They've had hard exams. Maybe they had a difficult teacher. Maybe they've had extracurricular activities that they've had to do. They've had to do things within their class and meet certain requirements. And when they say, I want to die, it's not because I want to die. It's because, oh, I just want to get this trimester over with.
I have here's another one. It says, that's retarded. This phrase perpetuates ableism by implying that individuals with mental, emotional, or physical disabilities are abnormal, defective, or inferior. That's not what we're saying. No one has ever inferred or denoted that those persons are inferior in nature. But I find it curious that maybe the same people who are propagating this are also pro-abortion.
Good point.
So what happens to those children? They're defective? They're abnormal? Are they inferior because they're not given a chance to live because they might be a weight on the progenitors? I don't know. This phrase is offensive toward people who have a disability. My question is, if these people have this disability and they are retarded, I don't really think that they're going to be offended by something because they don't have the capacity to understand what it is that persons are saying when they state that's retarded.
And plus, they're not called retarded. They're called children with special needs.
Yeah, now we can't use the term retarded anymore, even though that's that's a classic term to speak about something that takes time. You know, that there, for example, we used to speak about retarding the fire, the effects of the fire. Now we can't use that
anymore.
Well,
they can't use that on their paper, God forbid.
One more here. Gypped and Jude. These words perpetuate racism by implying that individuals of certain ethnic groups are dishonest, fraudulent, or cheaters. These words are offensive towards people who identify as Romani or Jewish. Being gypped or Jewed is not exclusive to one particular group, but if you're going to talk about gypped, I know who they're speaking of. You mentioned it earlier, blacks. The truth is, if you look at the statistics, black crime is greater than any other ethnicity in the United States by a great percentage. As a matter of fact, 65% of people who are incarcerated for crimes in this country are black. That goes to show you that the black community, they have a problem with violence, with racism, that needs to be fixed from the inside out. It's not fixed by refraining from using certain terminologies.
Of course. And Gio, when they use, let me give an example to the listener. When they use, or anybody uses, the word gypped, that means they go to a restaurant, an example, they order a platter, and once they've eaten and they've enjoyed a good meal, all of a sudden, they're like, man, did you feel gypped? And the person that they went to eat with asks him, what do you mean? Well, man, you know, I ordered this plate, and look, it cost me $15. Did you see the small plate that I got for the $15? That's what they mean by feeling gypped.
Let me say this to end the program. What is the Christian view of all of this? Well, the Bible very clearly tells us that we should be careful with the words that we speak. That not to engage in coarse language, in bad conversations, because they damage good habits. That's what Paul tells us. And of course, being salt and light, you want to be an individual that speaks the truth, the gospel, veracity. And also, I would think that if you want to be an educated person, you would use superior lexicon. And how do you do that? Well, you read a lot of books. You adopt new words into the terms that you are using, sentences, phrases, etc. But having said that, on many occasions, in conversations with many friends, these are innocuous terms that are employed. When you say, I was gypped, everyone else understands someone took something from you. Or, I went to the store, and now that I figured it out, I paid X amount for this, I was gypped. I was fooled.
Exactly.
That's what you mean by that, for example. When you say, I want to die, like you said earlier, this means to people who are listening, you might have gone through a really bad experience now, and you want to forget about life right now. Doesn't mean that you actually want to cure yourself. When you say that test raped me, that was a difficult exam to take. Unfortunately, we've reached the end of our programming. Folks, we'd like to thank you for listening to our podcast. Please visit our website to download this program freely. We only ask that you disseminate it to others so that they too may know the truth in a world full of uncertainty. That's lwym.org, lwym.org. If you have any questions or comments, please be sure to send those to our email inbox, info@lwym.org, info@lwym.org. And lastly, if you are in the vicinity, join us every single Wednesday night as we undertake our Wednesday night youth meetings. We begin at 8 p.m. and we are located at 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. For Sarai, this has been Gio. We are signing off until the next occasion that we meet. May the Lord shine his face upon you. Godspeed.
You've just experienced and become privy to information broadcast and powered by LWYM. Choose what to do with the material as you wish, but a fair warning is in order. Consider conserving it with your life if need be, as said information has been known to preserve the lives of its keepers. Join us every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. for more truth in a world full of uncertainty. 3175 Southwest 25th Street in Miami, Florida. If you have any questions or comments you'd like our hosts to address on our broadcast, write to us at info@lwym.org. Transmission end in 3, 2, 1.